Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Right now, though, I want to look at perinatal obsessive compulsive disorder. It's a type of OCD that develops during pregnancy or after childbirth and can very often go undiagnosed. Women can experience intrusive thoughts or images, anxiety and compulsions either during pregnancy or after delivering. Often these thoughts can be of harm coming to the baby or to themselves or to another loved one. Dr. Mas Mohammadi Mohammed is a consultant perinatal psychiatrist at University Maternity Hospital in Limerick and has treated women with perinatal OCD. He joins me now from our Limerick studio. Good morning, Mas. How are you?
Good morning, Philip.
How common is this condition?
So perinatal OCD is a lot more common than most people think. I think it's not talked about enough. So thank you very much for having me today. So it occurs in, you know, in conservative estimates around 2 to 3 in every 100 pregnancies. Yes.
That's really rather a lot. What crosses the threshold from the kind of normal concerns that people have about looking after their baby properly into perinatal obsessive compulsive disorder?
Yes, so I think it's very important to say that, you know, for lots of mums and dads, it's very common to have worries and thoughts or worries of harm occurring to their babies or to themselves, particularly in the postpartum period. I think that's quite normal when it occurs occasionally. But what happens with perinatal OCD is that patients get repetitive, intrusive thoughts. They find it very hard to get those thoughts out of their minds. It comes to them, you know, at all times, can come to them when things are particularly quiet, say at night. And they find it very hard to push these thoughts away. And I have to be very clear that these thoughts, by definition, are what we call ego dystonic. And ego dystonic means that they're distressing to the person experiencing them. So they don't want these thoughts to happen. It's not a fantasy. But they experience these thoughts constantly, and it causes them a lot of distress.
Give me an example of the kind of thought that we're talking about. What are they visualizing? What are they imagining?
So I think sometimes when people think about OCD, particularly outside the perinatal setting, you know, we're thinking about orderliness, maybe cleanliness, you know, excessive hand washing, etc. And these can be quite debilitating as well. But in the perinatal period, unfortunately, these thoughts are or images sometimes are often centered around the baby. So things like, you know, accidentally dropping the baby or falling down the stairs with the baby. But at times, the thoughts can also be of intentional harm to the baby. So thoughts of, say, dropping the baby intentionally, spilling hot beverage on the baby, or sometimes even more extreme ones like throwing the baby out the window, or even sexual thoughts about the baby.
These are thoughts. They remain thoughts. They are not things that the parents end up taking action on. But it's a very intrusive and distressing thing to be thinking about.
It is, and because of the nature and the content of these thoughts, a lot of women, you know, suffer in silence. They feel really guilty and ashamed about having these thoughts. So sometimes they don't even tell their partners or a trusted one that they have these thoughts for fear that you know about how people will view them. But I'm always very clear with my patients that these thoughts don't reflect in any way, you know, their capacity as a parent, you know, how much they love their baby, etc. These thoughts are very much random, or probably they prey on our, you know, deepest fears. So you know, we're very clear to these parents that that they're not in any way, you know, at an increased risk of actually acting on those thoughts.
But you do deal with people who have developed coping mechanisms or strategies that they imagine prevent them from taking action on those thoughts. What kind of behaviours are you observing?
Yes, so I suppose as part of OCD, there's the obsessional thoughts component, but then there's the compulsive side. And these are acts or behaviours that you know, parents would take to try and alleviate the or to reduce the anxiety that they're feeling. So these could be rituals. So I've known of patients who would be pray excessively, maybe read the Bible in a particular way backwards, for example. We've had patients who would do things in a particular way at night, and to ensure that they their anxiety at bay. There's checking behaviors as well, so checking the baby's breathing at night, seeking reassurance from others. Sometimes it can also be avoidance, and this is often a common way of alleviating the anxiety. So, for example, if the content of the obsessional thought is knives, for example, or hurting someone with knives, they may avoid knives, they may avoid the kitchen, or they may throw away their knives.
Remove all the knives from the house.
From the house,
and
yeah.
Do they know that these are not rational actions, but they are compelled to take them anyway?
Yes, I think that's the another key feature of perinatal OCD is that patients have a lot of insight. They're aware that what they're doing is, you know, irrational, but they you know, they're extremely distressed. So,
well, it would make it all the more distressing if you are self-aware, wouldn't it?
Yes, I think that's another part of it. And again, as I say, because it's not talked about enough, many people don't know about it. You know, they might have heard about postnatal depression or other anxiety symptoms, but not perinatal OCD specifically.
It strikes me, and we will come to treatment in a moment, but it strikes me that if left untreated, this must end up having an impact on a parent's ability to bond with the baby.
Yes, and I suppose that can happen in a few different ways. Sometimes what we see is that a mom may develop perinatal OCD initially, you know, if untreated, it can then lead to secondary depression, which can also impact on their ability to bond and attach with the baby. But it's really important for us to say that, you know, there are very, you know, effective treatments for this condition as well.
Yeah. I would imagine that the feelings of guilt and shame associated with this are such that it's underreported and people are very unlikely to want to come forward. What do you have to say to people in that position?
Again, and this is what I'd say to all, you know, all my patients, but sometimes also to staff members who, you know, who may be in contact with anyone who's pregnant or postpartum, to let them know that it's a lot more common than people think. There are effective treatments that, again, these thoughts or images, we know that they are in no way a reflection of who they are or how they are as a parent. Mm. And for them to reach out, to speak to the GPs, or if they're pregnant, they can speak to their obstetrician or midwife, because you know, the staff, the healthcare staff are aware of perinatal OCD, and they can make referrals then to specialist services. In some cases, just knowing what it is can really help as well. So we have information leaflets on our national websites on perinatal OCD.
Okay. We'll give all of those details at the end of the interview. How do you treat it?
So, again, as I say, the first thing sometimes just by naming it can be really powerful for women. Just knowing that there's a name for it, that it's treatable, can sometimes really help. So we give information to patients, mm-hmm. and their carers.
And that they're not alone in this.
And they're not alone, yes. So we've had actually, really brave women who have spoken about their experiences, and I really thank them for that. In some cases, patients may need medications to try and alleviate the symptoms. But again, you know, I'm very clear that these medications, they're not necessarily long-term. Most patients do well, and you know, at some point we can reduce and wean them off the medications. And then there, in some patients may also benefit from psychological treatments, with a trained either clinical psychologist hypnosis or a CBT therapist.
Suffice it to say, there is help out there. Tell me, how often does it go away itself after pregnancy? How often is this something that is triggered in people who have no history of OCD before pregnancy and just triggered by the pregnancy?
Yes, so we know that it's more common in those who already have maybe a diagnosis of OCD outside the perinatal period. But we also know that for a lot of women, it can be the first time they experience it in either pregnancy or the postpartum period. In terms of how likely these symptoms are to resolve, again, I think there can be a few factors in relation to this. It depends on the severity of the symptoms. It depends on whether the patient develops a secondary depression. But there are patients who do find that, you know, after the year or the 18 months after having their babies, that these symptoms naturally resolve. But they're at risk then of these symptoms recurring in a future pregnancy. So we have seen patients who maybe, you know, we've seen them in a second or third pregnancy, but when we take their histories, it's very clear that they've had these symptoms in previous pregnancies, but never had a chance to talk about it.
Anyway, the thing to take away from this is that you're not alone. It is relatively common and that there is an awful lot that can be done. I have just, as you were speaking there, Googled the words HSE, perinatal and OCD, and it all comes up straight away. That's probably the best place to send people in the first instance, is it?
That's right, yes. And we on the HSE website, we also have a lot of other leaflets on other conditions and also for carers, if you are concerned for your partner who's just had a baby, there are also leaflets for carers.
Dr. Mas Mahadi Mohammed, thank you very much for joining us from our Limerick studio this morning. Coming up after the break, the nitrates derogation. What happens to farming if it goes? What happens to our rivers and estuaries if it stays?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.